Thank you very much, Pastor Fiani. We are so glad to be here again to minister to the word of the Lord and to give him the glory and praise that due only unto him. Bless God. I am going to read to us two verses of scripture from Job chapter 42. I trust that you have your King James version before you, and we will look on these two verses together. That is verse 7 and verse 8 of Job 42. It reads like this. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz, the Temanite, night, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer it up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I dealt with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. The Lord bless the reading of his words to our hearts. Bless God. I just want to say thanks to all the brethren who have prayed for me, that God might touch me over the past week, and certainly he has. I want to give God thanks for your prayers and your continuous support. And we know that whatever God started, he has the ability to finish it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So glad to have all of you here today in service. And it is always a wonderful thing to not have to travel very far. In fact, not have to travel at all from your homes, and yet you are in church. This is a platform that we are on, and this is the advantage to this platform, that you don't necessarily have to travel any distance. You just tune in to the station, tune in to the number, and then you're right there at church, in the Apostolic Church. So we're glad to have you today. And if you're here for the first time, we are so glad to have you. We hope that you will come again, listen to us, and listen to the word of the Lord. As the word of the Lord continues to come to us every week, maybe from different preachers, but every week we have somebody ministering to our hearts from the word of God. And not only on Sunday mornings, but on Tuesday nights as well. And so we invite you to be a part of us as we worship the Lord together in the beauty of holiness. I join Pastor Fiani in expressing our shock to hear that another of God's giants has passed away. Radio preacher for years, Reverend Dobson, he has ministered to our hearts, both on the radio and on television. And that man has made so much contribution to the Christian community. And now he has come to the end of his life. It was a real good journey he had, and we give God thanks for his service to the Christian community. Not too long ago, we lost Jimmy Swaggart, an outstanding minister for the Lord over many years. We remember quite well the ministry he had in Jamaica, and how much life that ministry has impact. We also remember the loss of God's servant out by California. I in a moment. I seem to forget his name. But an outstanding minister in the Word of God for many years. And we give God thanks for him and for the lives of these three giants who have passed away in short space of time. But the word of the Lord goes on. The work of the Lord goes on. And we will continue to lift up the name of God as we are called upon to do so. Today we are going to look on Job chapter 42, verse 7 and 8. And the topic that I'm going to use will come from those two verses. And the topic is found in the two verses as well. And it is the latter part of each verse that says, "For ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath." That is the charge that the Lord has laid against one of Job's friends, the older one of the three, Eliphaz. "You have not spoken. You have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath." That's a very serious charge. And that caused us to examine God. That statement caused us now to take a look at God. And in doing so, we can't help but look at ourselves. What a charge!
Yes.
And there are three things that jump out at us from these two verses of scripture. And we will try to look on all three of them right now. One of them is somebody is listening to our conversation. That's the first thought that jump out at us. Jesus, the Lord said, "You have not spoken." That means the Lord heard what was said. And the second is, what is it that Eliphaz and his two friends have spoken that caused the Lord's wrath to be kindled against them? What is it that they had said? And the third thing is, what is it that Job had said that found favor in the sight of God? Because God's wrath was not kindled against him. So what has he said that caused God to say, "You have not spoken the thing about me as my servant has"? So we need to find out, what is it that Job had said? We also need to find out what it is that these three friends have said. But first, let us be mindful here, based on what God has said here. "For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." The first thing that we have to look on here is that somebody is listening to our conversation. But the first thing that we as believers and non-believers alike need to bear in mind, that our conversation are being listened to. You know, last week, I think it was, I came to this desk here, and I was about to start my studies, when a chorus came to mind, and I was singing the chorus. I wasn't just humming it, I was singing word for word. And I went and I enjoyed myself and did it for about 3 or 4 times. Then I decided that I am going to start the studies. But I took up the phone to do something, maybe to plug it into charge. I don't remember exactly what I did. But what surprises me was the fact that every word of that song was on the face of the phone. I didn't engage the phone by putting on the speaker, put it on Google or any such thing. The phone was just sitting there. And to my surprise, when I took out the phone, I looked on the screen, and every word of that chorus was on the phone. Somebody is listening to what we said. And the unfortunate thing is this, that as I saw that, I remember that somebody told me that, look, nowadays, if you should get involved with a law, for the most part, they're going to ask for your phone. Because on that phone, they are going to find information that goes back 10 years, 15 years. Some of which you might not be altogether happy about. And when I see the recording on the screen, I remember what the person had said. And so it tells us that somebody is listening to what we are saying. Brothers and sisters, let me say this to all of us, that the Bible makes it clear to us that our conversation is being recorded. If you take a look on Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, says, "But I say unto you," Jesus speaking, "but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Jesus made that statement a long time ago. Every word, he declares, will be taken into judgment ultimately. And Paul, speaking through Philippians 3:20, reminds us of something that is very important. He said that our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. And then he followed up by saying, from whence we look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus. So our conversation are in heaven. The Lord said, you have not spoken the things, you have not spoken of me, the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. It means that the Lord is recording what has been said. And this goes for every single one of us. Every single one of us. Everyone who will listen in this service and everyone who will read this sermon on the internet. It is important that whatever is said, it is seasoned. It is seasoned with salt so that it is something that is acceptable. The Lord said, you have not spoken the things concerning me the way in which my servant has. Servant Job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that teach us something. That teach us that whatever we say, we are to be mindful that it is being recorded. So the Lord uses evidence to prove to them that what they say was contrary to his character. And this is where it seems to affect God most. The fact that his character has no come into play based on what was said. I will read to you two things that were said by two of Job's friends. If you go back to Job chapter 4. I read from verse 6 to verse 9. This is the first speaker of the three, the oldest one, Eliphaz. Hear what he said. Job chapter 4, verse 6 to 9. And of course, he continues to speak right through the chapter. Is not this thy fear? He's referring to Job. Thy confidence, thy hope, and thy uprightness, on the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perish being innocent, are where were the righteous cut off? Verse 8, even as I have seen they that plow iniquity and show wickedness reap the same. And verse 9, by the blast of God they are perished, and by the breath of his nostril are they consumed. Listen to what the brother said. He's talking to Job. You tell me, he was saying to Job. Where is it that the righteous has ever perished? The innocent has ever endured what you are experiencing? He is putting it to Job by saying, iniquity iniquity. Verse 8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. The brother is saying to Job, what you sow, this is what you are reaping. You know, in this, when you think about it, he has not mentioned God at all. In fact, if you ask me, this brother seemed to be leaning on the part of God. That is me, in my limited understanding, seem to be leaning on the part of God. Because he is putting this to Job, that, look man, your sickness, the nature of your sickness, is not one that just happened like that. It happened because you are in the heart of iniquity. Let's see what Bildad, another of Job's friends, has to say here. For this, I read from verse 3 to verse 6 of Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8, reading from verse 3 to verse 6. Does God pervert judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? If the children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God bedtime, and make thy supplication unto the Almighty, if thou were pure and upright, surely, he would awake for thee and make thy habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Not in the same words as his older friends, but in the same light he's making this presentation. In fact, he went a little further by saying, if Job would only repent, if you would only repent, in his opinion, he believed that God would come to his rescue, Job's rescue, and God would heal him, and God would deliver him. These are words that was said, and God has these words and much more before him. Did you notice it was in the last chapter that God made this comment? So 32 chapters of Job, there was a back and forth between Job's three friends and himself. And all those chapters there, they continue to preach the same news, that it is iniquity that has caused this problem upon Job. And to a large extent, when you look at it, as I've said before, they seem to be speaking in a way on God's behalf. But as we examine the scriptures, we are seeing more and more why God was upset with their presentations. And to know that God's character was attacked by what they say is something that God is not going to be silent about. Oftentimes we heard people talk about the church in a most negative way. Oftentimes we heard people talk about the people of the church, God's people, in a most negative way. Oftentimes we hear and see things that go on contrary to righteousness that affects God. Because notice, the church here is a lever that God uses. This is a lever that God is using on earth in order to promote his kingdom and to promote his righteousness and to promote his holiness, the church. And to go around and say things contrary to what the church stands for affect God's character. And I want to tell you this. The seriousness of this means that all God's attributes, all God's attributes are tied up in his character. His love is tied up in his character. His holiness is tied up in his character. His mercy is tied up in his character. His wisdom is wrapped up in his character. And therefore, it means so much to God when somebody goes against his character, what he stands for. Let me give you two examples here. They are saying Job could not be a righteous man. And I want to remind the church this morning that when we're talking about Job, we are talking about a man who has things. A man who has things. I read from Job chapter 1, verse 3. His substance, that is before he took sick, his substance also were 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. That was Job. That was Job. And to see this demon reduced to this portion here. Verse 5. Let's look at verse 7 and verse 5 of Job. Remember what I've just read. The statue that man represents in his time. And listen to what Job chapter 7 and verse 5 have to say about this same man. Verse 5. My flesh is clothed with worms and cloud of dust. My skin is broken and become lonesome. This is the man who had all these positions in verse 1 and now in chapter 7. Verse 5, he has reduced to A man whose worm is dropping off his hand. Worm is wrinkling up in his flesh. Cloud of pusses are falling to the ground. His stench was unbearable. His sight was deplorable. Pain and anguish was rocking him from side to side. He was deserted of his friends and his wife. That is the man we are talking about now. And they came and they are saying, look, your sickness didn't came about like that. It came about because you were indulged in wickedness. And so, we have to see how this affects God's character. Because to the person without experience, without having the knowledge of the scripture, they probably would have viewed it the same way. But is this what God does? Let's look at two examples. One, let's look on Psalms 73. Psalms 73. This is very important to us. As believers, this is important to us. Because God reserved the right. God reserved the right to mete out punishment to whoever he wishes. He reserved the right to bring prosperity to whomever he wishes, whether you are righteous or whether you are unrighteous. God, in his holy character, reserved that right. Let's listen to what the Christian is now saying about the wicked in Psalms 73. Bear with me a minute as I try to go through this. Psalm 73, I read from verse 1. Listen, this is the Christian speaking now. Surely God is good to Israel, even to such as have a clean heart. But as for me, speaking about himself being a Christian, my feet were almost gone. My step as well nigh slipped. In other words, he's saying, I've almost backslid. I was on the brink of backsliding. Based on what he's now going to describe to us that he saw. Psalm 73, verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bond in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, speaking against God. And their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return thither, and water of all full cups are run out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. That is his conclusion. Because he should be in that position as the wicked. And he can't even find enough to satisfy his own soul. And when he looked through his window and behold the prosperity of the wicked, he questioned God. Let us read verse 14. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I the end. Example number one. Listen to the believer in Christ. Listen to the believer in Christ who have not yet fully understood the great God that we serve. When he saw the prosperity of the wicked, he became envious and questioned God. How is it that a wicked man is able to prosper? And I, who have bowed my heart to you and watch my hands, are struggling to make two ends meet. It was not until when he went into the house of God, then by revelation, God unfolded himself to him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What is the next example here? Recently we are doing the studies on the book of Acts. And we are currently in Acts. In fact, we have just finished Acts 7. About to move into Acts 8. But this is another example that I'd like to bring to the church. Stephen, a man of God, a man who have done wonders, the word tells us, in the name of Jesus. And God watched him stone to death. Stephen himself declares that I saw under the burden of stones, rock being coming at him from right, left, and center. He was able to declare that I saw heaven open, and I saw the Son of God standing on the right hand of God. Jesus was there watching the proceedings and did nothing to save Stephen. Why? Because the Lord knew, that Stephen has in him the ability to endure all of this without becoming sinful. The Lord allowed Job to go through this because he had full confidence in Job's ability to ride out this storm. You know what is sad here, church? What is sad is that not all of us would be able to endure Stephen's situation and to endure Job's situation. But nonetheless, the Bible tells us the Lord chastened them that are his. The Lord chastens his own people. And the Lord will bring us to a point where he knows we will not break. But beyond that, we will be in trouble. And then the Lord will pull back. But he goes all the way with Stephen. Because he knows that Stephen will hold up under pressure. He went to the distance with Job. Because he knows that Job will not back away from the relationship that he has established with the Lord. So what we find here is that we find that the Lord is listening to what is being said. And the Lord also assessed what was said. And the Lord was wroth about what has been said by these three friends, because it affects his character. It affects his character. So let's see what we heard, what these two of Job's friends said here. So let's look on the last point. Let's look and see what is it that Job said that caused the Lord's wrath not to be kindled against him, but instead elevate him to the point where he was able to make the statement, the strong statement, "You have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has." As he addressed one of Job's three friends. And so we ask ourselves the question, what is it that we are saying? What is it that we are saying, considering that we are in front of such a holy God? This is what we cannot lose sight of. God is absolutely holy. We cannot lose sight of that. The God that we serve is altogether holy. It is his nature. And when they thought that they were speaking against God's servant, they were speaking against God himself. So what is it that Job said that caused God to elevate him? Let us look on Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2,9 and 10. Then said his wife unto him, "Thus thou still retain thy integrity?" That is, Job's wife is saying that to him. Does thou still retain thy integrity? And then she has some good suggestions in the light of our own thinking, which turn out to be a horrible suggestion. One that not only affects Job, but it also go against the grain of God. Listen to what she said. "Curse God and die. Pack it up. Pack it up. You have lost your possession. You have lost all of your children. You have lost all of your servants. You have lost your health. You have lost your health. What is left? Curse God and die. But Job answered her, verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Listen to Job. As what you had just said, just reach a place in Job's heart. Job said, what shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In this did not Job sin with his lips? Listen to Job, and the answer is right here. Contrary to what they were saying, Job is saying, the God that I serve is a God who has and reserved the right to mete out evil to his own as well as good. Hallelujah. 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 To his own. To his own. To his own people. God reserve the right to mete out evil, Job is saying. As well as good. Let's go back to Job 23. Job 23. I read from verse 10 to verse 13. But he know the way I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My foot had held its place. In other words, under the pressure, I have not backslid. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. But I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I read this last verse here. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desired, even that he doeth. The Lord is of one mind. What his soul desireth, that he does. And if you are a believer, listen right now. And you are tempted in your situation to question whether or not you should be passing through this. I am saying to you, don't discredit the integrity of God. Because he's sovereign. He knows everything. He knows the ending from the beginning. You are under his watchful eyes, despite the challenges that you face. He has the ability to bring you to a point, but he knows that beyond certain point, it can be dangerous for you. So he's not going to take you further than what you can manage. But as for Stephen, he knows Stephen was able to bear it right through. As for Job, he know that Job was able to go the distance that he had. If you are a believer now, I am asking you to have faith in God. He is of one mind. Whatever he chooses to do, that he will do. Not because somebody has sinned. Not because somebody has not sinned. But the inner working of God, he does everything according to his own purpose. And the final quote that I'd like to make from Job is, Job declared, and it's a memorable passage of scripture, verse chapter 19, 25. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer. Let me read it. Job 19, reading from verse 25. Listen to what it says. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That is a declaration of faith, trust, and confidence in the God that we serve. And that resonates with God, that a man who is in a state where worms are dropping off his body and flies are having a field day, in that state and condition, he can still embrace the God of heaven and say that he's right. Hallelujah! He's right. And God has proven himself to be right when he made his statements in chapter 42, where he says, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right as my father, as my servant Job had. Then God said, here is the remedy to correct your problem. Here's the remedy. Verse 8. Take therefore unto you 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, like my servant Job. God repeats it twice in 2 verses. And so the remedy for speaking against God's people, for speaking against God's church, is repentance. God wants repentance, because in doing so, you're affecting his character. And in the past, you may have said this. In the past, you may have said that. And you don't think about it. But God has it written down somewhere. And it cannot come off the books unless there is repentance. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. The Lord gave me this word about a week ago. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. But I believe that the Lord wants to correct all the wrongs that went against him and his church here. Because this is the only lever that God is using to save humanity. The instrument of the church. I don't know if you're here. If you're here and you're in this meeting and you have listened to what was said and you have no have an understanding as to all God thinks. His holiness is not going to compromise. Even though you and I thought that what we were saying, we were correct. Not so with God. God said to them, you have not spoken about me right, like my servant does. You're here in this meeting. I want to give you a chance for you to make it right with the Lord. I want to give you a chance. I want you to find this level of repentance. As these three friends of Job, they brought in the sacrifice to Job. Job was able to pray for them, and their sins were blotted out. I'm saying to you the same thing can happen. Can you yield to the Lord? Father, I just thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord God, for opening up the books and showing us the integrity of your heart, your character, which governs your decision. Thank you for exposing that to us. And to know that you're a holy God. The things that are said against your people are said against you. The things that are said against your church are things that are said against you. And Lord, you're waiting for repentance. You're waiting for somebody to admit that they were wrong. I don't know if that person, our persons, are in the service today. But if you are, God is ready and willing to forgive. Father, forgive, I pray. Out of ignorance, some of these things were said. And Lord God, as we examine your word and see how you operate, we pray that you will completely forgive us in our ignorance. Forgive us, Lord. And help us, oh God, that we will start a new life with you as we discover the greatness of your ability, and to know that somebody who is suffering does not necessarily mean the person is wicked. Somebody who is prospering does not necessarily mean the person is righteous. But it is you who fall the rain on the just and on the unjust. For your own purpose and for your own pleasure. We look to you, Lord, that there will be forgiveness flowing from your throne for all of us who have seen things contrary to your work. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. And I